whole of the church, the leadership that has been going on, Pastor Sue for ministering, David Wanson for ministering on the one night, for the band continuing to do the things that needed to be done for the home groups, the prayer groups. Sue Ellen, thank you for keeping that up, and you're leaving this week, but only for a holiday, that's right. And I just thank, you know, the whole of the church, all of the people that are in the, I was going to say the pews, we don't have any pews, being in the seats every week supporting what the Lord is doing through this ministry of the Crossway. And, you know, Pastor Marianne, on behalf of both of us, we just want to thank you all for allowing us a great, we had a fabulous time away. This is the first time we had gone away on a holiday, quote unquote, where we did not have to go back to the States, and I say this with respect to our clan back home, not having to go back there to the same spot all the time, but we went to Tasmania. What a beautiful state. If you haven't gone there, you need to go. And we just had an absolutely Bobby Dazzler of a time. We did walks. We were refreshed, you know, with each other, and not that we were stale before, but I mean, you know how things get sometimes, the pressure. Refreshed in the Lord Jesus Christ, refreshed in our relationship with Him and within ourselves. And it was so good just to go for walks and to see God's nature, what He has created. We saw, you know, in Launceston, we were there, we were there for several days. We went down on the other side, the west side, to Cradle Mountain. And I was just in my element because I was looking at all these things that God created in the mountain system and the nature that was around us and the Cradle Mountain Lake. It was just absolutely beautiful. And the weather followed us all over. The sun just followed us, except the last day it snowed. The last day and a half it snowed, but it was good to see that because we saw what it would be like if we were in that element all the time. Not that we missed it, because we saw plenty of that in our early days in America, but we had just a fabulous time, quad bike racing. And I wish I would have had a camera shot of Pastor Marianne, because we had this young fellow from New Zealand who was our scout and our trainer, and then it was Pastor Marianne, myself, and then we had a newlywed. They were married on the weekend, honeymooners. And we were celebrating our 40th. How's that, man? And you can see Pastor Marianne going through mud, and we just had a riot. It was good. But, yeah, I just want to say thanks to all, and thanks be to God for allowing us, you know, the time and health and everything, the finances to do it, and the places to go. He created it all. This morning I've got a message. It's a challenge. We're living in some pretty perilous times. Not pretty, we're very perilous times. And it's just the beginning of what God said would begin to take place before He comes. And we have a challenge that is before us, friends. My message this morning is, let God's love lead. Not hatred, not murder, not killing. Let God's love lead. I think, you know, God's love is relevant for every occasion in whatever season of life we're passing through, whether it's a child, baby, child, teenager, young adolescent, older, you know, people that go through younger years, and then the older, the mid-years and the older years. Whatever season of life we're passing through, God's love, and people can give testimonies of it. We can. I know there are other people. All of us here can give testimonies. God's love is relevant through every phase of life that we will all go through. Or whatever challenges there that we face, God's love is relevant to it on all occasions, and it has the power to keep us going, the power to protect us, the power to give us to overcome. That's the most important thing, to overcome. And in every season of life that we'll ever face, everything the world can throw at us, everything that life can throw at us, the good and the bad, it's through the love of God in us, working through us, that we are overcomers. And through this and realizing that it's God's love that leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he never leaves us nor forsakes us. That's his promise. But where he leads us and how he leads us in the places that are the best. But he also leads us in the places sometimes when it seems the darkest, no matter what or how severe the things may be, there's always the light at the end that God will see us through. And that's our that's his promise to us. Why is this that I can say and we can think about it this morning that let God's love lead us? We have to realize what the verse of Scripture says about God. The Bible says God is love. Let's take a look at 1 John 4:16. If we can have it up on the screen. It says, "And we have known and believed that love that God has for us, God is love. And he who abides in, forget that little screen there. I think it's the background on that. I'm not sure what it is, but we'll take a look. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. That is something you have to hold on to in these days, friends, that it's abiding in the love of God. It is safe this morning to say that we are really in very perilous times, and it's not going to get any prettier. It's not going to get any nicer. It's going to get worse. And it's not saying that, you know, we're not talking about, you know, just necessarily things about doomsday, but doomsday is coming. But we have Christ in us who has promised to make us overcomers even when the doomsday comes and before it comes. Amen. The escalation that we're facing today of evil happening around the world, and it's including our own country. How do we as Christians, how are we supposed to be reacting to this? You know, when I watch TV, Pastor Maron, I watch TV, I know that there's a part of me with all the terrorist threats that are going on and the beheadings and all these gory things. I don't know if you've sensed it, but there's an escalation of terror in the atmosphere. There's a new brushing or a pushing what Satan is trying to do to allow his presence to cover and saturate the world even more than it's ever been done in the past. How are we as Christians to react to that? There's a part of me inside my flesh that says, destroy the lot. But then as soon as I start thinking that, there's another part, and it's the inner man, it's the Christ in me that says, and I see the cross standing before these people who have been blinded by the devil and deceived to do the things that they're doing. They don't know any better. In fact, they did it to Jesus. They did it to Jesus. And he didn't do anything wrong to them. He loved them all. So what does that say to us? Our challenge really, friends, is, you know, the only right way is to do what the Word of God says. How are we supposed to react? Well, God didn't leave us as orphans. He didn't leave us without knowledge or understanding or his wisdom. He told us, even for this particular area, how to react to the things that are going on in these last days. Let's take a look at a verse of Scripture. And if I could just add a few more scriptures to that, a few more verses to that, sorry. Beginning with verse 43 in Matthew 5. 247, if we could take a look at those verses of Scripture. I'll wait till we get it up on the board. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 47. If you have your Bible, if you want to take a look at your Bibles, or it's on the screen, it says, "You have heard that it was said, you love your neighbor and you hate your enemy." That's what they heard. But Jesus says, "But I say to you, love your enemies." Doesn't it make you want to bite your tongue? Just think of a time when you had an enemy. What was your reaction to that enemy, no matter what the circumstance was? "Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You see, we're facing every element here because when Jesus was living on this earth, he wasn't just facing people. He was facing people that were deceived and under the ploy or the sway of what Satan and all that he manifested himself, hate, kill, and destroy, was putting into these people to do. And his reaction to that is the reaction that we need to employ in our lives when it comes to the challenge of what we're facing today, when it comes to the devil working through people, but these people that he's using are really God's creation. I had something happen 2 days ago. I wasn't going to share this except for tomorrow night, but I'll share it now. In our kitchen, we have a fairly long sink, and on the one side, we have, you know, those little grooves that you can put the plates and just lean them like this. They're in the stainless steel. And my wife, we have a cutting board that has a metal tray that you can pull in and out to collect things. And well, she took the tray out, and she washed it and set it up against, she put it in a little slot against the window so it could dry. And in the morning, I got my mixer out to make my fruit juice and the whole lot, my protein mix. And I started making it, and then I got the protein. It was finished. I picked it up and dropped it by, not real hard, but I just hit it on my side of the counter. Now, there's a distance between here and at the end of the pulpit where the tray was. And it went poof. And I thought, and God just spoke so clear. He says, many times we don't realize the effect that we have that we don't realize we can have through prayer. Through speaking things out, through speaking the word of God out. I didn't touch the tray, but I was connected to it. How was I connected to it? Because it's material, and I'm material, and I put the drink down that was also material, and there was a vibration that went right through and knocked it down. Do you think it's possible, if we can see it in the light, even of a little illustration like that, the power that we have at hand to be able, whether we're on the other side of the world or not, to the things that are happening on the other side of the world or wherever it may be happening, that is averse to God, that we cannot have the power to do something against it without retaliation, doing things the wrong way. There's power in the love of God, for God is love. God is love. Let's take a look at a few more things here. The challenges that we face, there's only two sources today, friends, that we're seeing in the world. They've always been here since man fell. It's been Satan, hatred, deception, and it's been God, love, and his power through his Spirit. The love of God is a life giver. And it says of Satan, and Jesus spoke it out, he described Satan in John 10:10. We've spoken this many, many times. We've said it, quoted it many, many times. John 10:10 says, the thief only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Doesn't that really describe what's happening today? The things that are going, the hideous things, even to the extreme extent of what Satan is trying to do, even to the least of the things that he's trying to do, it's all under his guise to steal, to kill, and destroy what God has made perfect. And for us to enjoy, and he enjoys. But on the other hand, Jesus finished it off and he says, but I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. Love. That was Jesus. That was love. Jesus was the manifest love of God that came into this world to show us that though he may look like a man, and we've been made in God's image, he reacted different to the way the things of the world were going on because he came from another place. He came from another place. And the things of our reactions should be the reactions that come from another place, from heaven, from God's kingdom. Where is this kingdom? Where did Jesus say the kingdom of God was? within you. God's love is in us. So our reaction to things is not to want to slice off someone's head because they've already done that to someone else that was a loved one or from our nation or from other nations and see the hideous things that are going on. We got to be truthful today, friends, about we're in something that's going to be escalating. It's not going to be sort of tapering off. You know, we've seen it in a sort of the beginning way in the, you know, with the World Trade Towers going down at that one time. That was a real manifestation of the hatred of Satan. And it's been escalating ever since. But so has the love of God. Because there are many, many Muslims and other people of other religions as well who have been seeing Jesus, who have been spoken to by angels, who have been witnessed to by Christians, even at the expense of their life, and they've come to know Jesus. The love of God manifest. They overcame. And they had others, because of their love that was working through them, others also were able to overcome. Interesting, I've read my Bible, and I've read it a lot over the course of my life, but I have never found, and I've never read, where hatred overcomes love. Has anyone here ever read that? Hatred overcomes love? Well, that says to me that we're not supposed to be acting with hatred in the situation, any situation that we face. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean or be in the area of terrorism, what's going on in the world. It could be at your workplace. It could be the person that you work with. It could be a person in this church. It could be a person when you're going to school, where you go to school at, that you just don't want to love. And it's the opposite. If you want to overcome, ask God to give you the strength to see His love working in you and allow His love to manifest Himself in and through you and see the change in that person. Praise God. We have to do it, friends. You never read that hatred overcomes love. But when you love, that's when you overcome. When you love, that is when you become an overcomer. And it's allowing the love of God to lead us. From Genesis to Revelation, it says that, you know, you can read it. Love overcomes all evil. Anything that the devil has ever been able in the past times, in all of the history of the Bible, in the history of even secular history, you can see for some reason there's always the fingerprint of God, and His love overrides and overrules and overcomes hatred, overcomes the devil. You know, we've got people that we need to be praying for. You need to be praying for yourself, that God would allow you to protect you, His love to protect you, for God's love to allow people that are in leadership to be protected. We have people in this church that are in council. They don't know wherever they, especially in positions like that, where they go. You know, they're a prime suspect. They're a prime person or people that are right in the front line to be persecuted, to be killed, to be hurt. Don't just think of some other nation. You see, when sin sets in, it started with one bad apple in the basket, and it just spread. And now it's just at the end times, friends, the whole basket is being filled with maggots and smelly apples. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about what Satan has been doing. So the ploy of the enemy is to deceive and to cause a person or a people to act in hatred, totally contrary to what God is. God is love toward those who they hate. But He has not called His people, and if you're here this morning and you're born again, you are God's child. You're born again by the Spirit of the living Christ. And His love lives within you, whether you knew it or not. Most of us know that. Almost all of us know that. But just let it be reinforced in you that the love of God resides in each of us this morning, and it's not the way to go how we look at things in this world. Again, where it says in 1 John 4:16, God is love. If there's anything you want to take home today, remember that verse, God is love. God is love. So what does it mean to us as Christians? God is love. God's love is the most powerful weapon against Satan's artillery and anything that he has to cause his expression of hate and violence and even killing to overcome that. That's what's in the power of God's love. It's the most powerful weapon in the universe is God's love. God doesn't allow us, friends, in the Bible, it says over and over and over. It shows, it points it out. And especially with the life of Christ, you can see it in the life of Christ. God's love does not allow us to kill our brothers and sisters. God's love does not allow us to kill our neighbors. And the one that's the most difficult is God's love does not permit us or allow us to kill our enemies. Because our enemies are actually our brothers and sisters as well. God created them. And they have just as much right to the salvation of God. Will you say, you mean that guy that was on TV that before they showed him that he beheaded that Aussie? Or beheaded that other those other people, that those news reporters? You mean to tell me that that guy is got, yeah. He has every right to become a Christian. Jesus saw that person when he was going to the cross. And he loves that person just as much. And I find this real, you know, at first it's hard. It's not a very good tasting tablet or medicine to go down. But when it starts going down, you realize that's good. I don't have to act that way. And if I feel something rising up in me to begin to act that way, I know the Word of God is there to change me, to allow the love of God to come out and change a circumstance. You know, it's not going to come by might or power. It's not going to come by the strength of horses and horsemen. It's not going to come by artillery and the technology that we've got today at our defense's disposal or any of us to wipe this situation out. The miracle actually rests right now with people who are called Christians. Because we hold the key, and the key is God's love. And it doesn't sound like it can do anything, does it? I'm not talking about wish-wash love. Oh, you poor little thing, and just let me witness to you about Jesus. No, it really means to get in the face of Almighty God, and no matter what the circumstance looks like, no matter how much pressure is on us to do the wrong thing, it's to stand in the midst of whatever that challenge is today and do it as Jesus would do it, even if it meant laying your life down. You say, that's a terrible thing to say. Well, do we not have an example that to follow if it was to that extreme? Not that we have to. Pray to God we never, any one of us ever have to do that. But if it meant that, that your life becomes a seed that someone else would find Jesus. You know, the whole thing behind this is that Satan wants to conjure up hate. Just what he is doing in people, just how he's deceived people to take on a mindset that is so absolutely diabolical, so anti-Christ. He wants us to start wearing that. He wants us to start smelling it and tasting it. He wants us to start taking it in so we can react the same way. But I began to see in myself that that's not the way to go. That's not what Jesus did. And he faced hell and he faced man. The effects of what man could do when he's blinded by the devil. So our response has to be what the Bible says. How we have to live. How we have to respond. And the challenge is for each of us today when we leave this place and until Jesus comes is to remember that God is love and his love works in and through us to change things that are impossible for the natural to change. For God is able to do all things. You know, if he can hold this little blue ball and he's created all of it, I forget how many, what the statistics are for the tonnage of how much the earth weighs in its mass. And the magnetic field that it generates because it's got so much iron consistency in its core. If he has this little blue ball that you can't even see in space, man, and we think we got it tough, we move with God. We do things in the power of God. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God says that because you're in me, I'm with you. And so if I'm going to move this chair as sort of like say this is my opposition or my challenge, I start to push this way. But let me tell you something. I'm not the only one pushing my against this resistance. God is on the other side pushing it with me because he inhabits everything. He has preeminence in every single thing that's created according to the word of God that does not change. So that in myself and my thinking causes me to think, okay, if there's a situation that's beyond my control, yes, I'm going to try my best to do what I can do in the spirit of God and just rely on what God is able to do the rest of it for me and through me and to watch and stand to behold a miracle. The change that can come through. Our nation needs to be stalwart in its ability to hold on to the faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible teaching what it taught over the years that people have been here and the lives that have been changed through the gospel, not only in this place, but other people that have left the soil of this place to go to other nations to preach the gospel and to win souls for Jesus in God's love. Don't you think that if that happened in the good times and the easy times, in a sense, going to missionary work, it's not always easy, and even if it is, you're still getting the gospel out, don't you think that God can still do the same when it comes to the hard challenges that we're going to face and that we're facing right now? Praise God. So how does this work for us Christians? God's love becomes our protection. Basically, that's what happens. God's love becomes our protection against the hatred of the adversary. God becomes our protection through the power of his word and that God is love and that the power of the Holy Spirit resides in us. His kingdom is within us. Protects us against our adversary, the devil, and any expression that he expresses himself, and that means he uses other people sometimes who are deceived to do his work. We have power and authority. You know, we read books, The Authority of the Believer by Kenneth Hagin, and The Authority of, you know, Kenneth Copeland, and all these other people that talk about the authority of God. It's easy to read it when you have not that much going against you, not that much of a challenge. But today, friends, we've got a challenge that is affecting every single one of our lives because you don't know. You don't know the way things have been going on, and especially that's been, and it's not a scare tactic. I'm not trying to preach doom and gloom. But God is our protection when we go on the streets. He is our protection when we come in this place. He is our protection when you go home to your house where your family is. He is our protection. If you travel overseas, God is your protection. And you have to trust him and not be afraid that he's not going to be there when you need him. His promise is, I'll never leave you. Satan's hatred and expression through people is rendered, and I like to say is broken, powerless. In the face of God's love, and armor. I don't have time to read it this morning, but if you read the book of Ephesians chapter 6, you find the armor that you, that God, that, that the Holy Spirit, how he led Paul to make an observation with the Roman soldier, how they were covered from head to foot, and also their training in their mental state, that they were protected from their enemy. And Paul says that to put on the full armor, because we're not fighting against the flesh and the blood. We're not fighting against Middle Eastern people. We're fighting against the one who's trying to possess their minds and an onslaught to kill everyone who is otherwise of a different thinking. It's crazy, isn't it? But you begin to see things, friends, when you read the Word of God. You know the fingerprint of God, and you know the fingerprint of the devil. And there, it says, it's black and it's white. And you know, we know how to respond to it all. Facing the impending challenges, let us do and act God's love. This is the most important thing that we have to see this morning. We are products of God's love. Every single one of us who name Jesus have accepted his salvation. We are products of God's love. That's how we got born again. For God so loved the world. It doesn't say that man so loved God that he asked God to come to this world. He wasn't even thinking about God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's all passing, friends. One day, it could be 20 years, maybe less, maybe more. But all this, it says on the Word of God, will be melting and burning with fervent heat. It's going to pass away. But it also gives us the promise that whoever believes in the resurrection, the Christ, will be resurrected on that day and be called up, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who remain will follow after to be with Christ forever. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how the angels are going to come and get people out of a tomb that's buried 6 feet down, or it's been disintegrated in the ocean and nobody can see it, and sometimes you swallow water and you might have somebody going through your system. I don't know how it works, but it says that God, Jesus, is going to come. And he says, our spirit man is going to receive an immortal body. That's his promise. But until such time, on this earth, we have an immortal spirit living within us that teaches us and tells us what to do. And it's through the power of his word and his spirit. And that's all we need to know, friends, is not to worry about all these things that we're finding on TV. Rejoice. For the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, the people in the Roman Empire, they didn't have much to rejoice about, those people that were Christians, because they were being slaughtered, sometimes a mile long, and you could see crosses with people dying on them, people being burned at the stake, people being cut and sawn and tortured and eaten by animals, and who can, being clubbed to death, babies and kids and families just torn to pieces. That's the work of the devil. But we have power over that. And there's something that he cannot have if we are in Christ. He cannot have our immortal spirit that's been born of the Holy Spirit of God. We are precious. You're precious in God's sight. Every single one of us this morning, we're precious in God's sight. It's God's love through Jesus Christ that we were brought into being. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, said it thousands of times, not thousands, but hundreds of times, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Your old self has passed away. It's been nailed to the cross. Behold, all things have become new, including your heart, including your spirit, man, including your mind that's able to be transformed by the Word of God and through the Word of God. Transformed so we don't take on the way the world thinks. because our minds are being transformed to act a different way. No wonder why Jesus stood out among the men. And Jesus is calling every single one of us today to stand out and look different, be peculiar, be strange to a lot that's going to hell. But it's not that Jesus wants them to go to hell because he died for them. Are we happy this morning? The challenge is huge. And it's going to get worse. But the faith and the love of God is always on the increase to take care of everything that we're going through. Praise his wonderful name. The challenge is, it's not without an answer and an overcoming theme that God has given us. We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, you know, when you see things happening on TV, reaction, put the old man behind back in the coffin and allow Jesus to come out through you and start praying. Remember the illustration, the pounding and the plate falling? Well, do some pounding when you get home. Start having an effect. You see us getting up in arms, bringing jets over there, bringing soldiers over there. It's one way to sort of slow, it's like a bandage solution. But according to the word of God, God never allowed, and he didn't have to use his army of people that believed in him. In fact, most times you'll find that God just did it all by, I was going to say his little old self, but it's all by his little big self. And he got all the glory, and the people worshiped him. And we're thanking God because they were in and abiding in a God who protected the ones he loved and the ones that loved him. Amen? Praise God. I'm almost finished. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. If we could have that, please, Sarah. For in him we live and move. You get that? In Christ we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Oh, you come from England. Oh, you come from America. Oh, you come from Africa. You come from here. You come. Friends, we are offspring of Jesus. We're offspring of God to begin with because we're made in his image. So don't look at anybody else's color, the way they walk, the way they look, the way they dress. We're not to judge. Because God loves them. What if they did that to you? What if God did that? Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about you now. I'm not sure about you. Yeah, God loves. God loves. Because there's a perfected state that he's bringing us to. It's going to be wonderful. I've been reading the book that you gave me to read, Daryl, about life after life. And I tell you, there's real eye-openers on the near-death experience of children especially, because they've not been tainted with growing up and having a lot of reasoning taking place when they go through experiences like that, but how they always have found peace and experienced God and love and experienced places that are too, you can't even describe and put into words what they're seeing. They have a hard time saying it. But this is where God's leading us, friends. And the ultimate, this earth that we're living on is it's sort of like a catchment right now. And God knows the plan. One day we'll find out all the answers. So don't come up to me and ask me why is this and why that. Anybody else who really doesn't know the answers either, except the Holy Spirit. But we have enough to take us and let us wait until we get there. And it's not that we have to be afraid. Because whether we face life or whether we're facing death, just like Paul, he says, for me to die is to be present with God, but to live. Well, I just got a little bit more time here on the place that God put me. and I'll see him later. Praise God. Imagine the loved ones that are waiting for you on the other side. And they're watching. And they're expecting. Can you imagine the reunion that we're going to have? Praise God. It may not be right now, but it will be someday. Praise God. So the challenge before us in finishing, if you're a Christian, be a Christian. If you name Jesus, you've been born again, act as being born again. In fact, why don't you tell your neighbor next to you, just be a Christian. Shake him a little bit, just be a Christian. Come on. Just be a Christian. Let Satan know, I'm a Christian. Not just, I am Christ. I am Christ. No one can overcome without the Spirit of God in them. So, friends, we're not a hopeless case. If you're in Christ, the Spirit of God, it says that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. God resides within us. So that means that He who created all things has all power, all knowledge, lives in me. And if I have a question and I need an answer, how does this work? What should I be doing? How should I react? What is the next day going to bring forth? You may not know, but God says, don't worry, it'll come. He's got the answers for everything. God's got the answers for everything, even making a puppet stage, which I'm trying to make now, out of cardboard. And you'd laugh if you saw what I was doing. But it's just going along. I'm just following what God says. Just, okay, it's off the beaten track. As we walk and live in the Holy Spirit, God moves with us and we move with God. So the only challenge that remains is the challenge and the challenges that remain before us as long as we're alive. But we can meet every one of those challenges, friends, with Christ. We live with Christ, we abide in Christ, we win. If you're deceived by the devil, you'll lose. So don't be a loser. Is that the right way? Don't be a loser. Be a winner. Everybody go like this over their forehead. I'm a winner. Not a wiener, a winner. If you're a hot dog, you'll get burned on the barbecue. If we could have that last, you'll come. And can we make that a prayer of our hearts? You know, that part of it where it says, chains be broken, eyes be open, people be healed. Can we make that a prayer of our hearts, not only for ourselves this morning, but also can we pray for our enemies this morning as a body of Christ? You know, it's a wearing thing. It's been a wearing thing on, we've been watching this being over when we were in Tasmania because we had to fly back and there was an escalation at the airports of different things they had to do. And we thought, we got to fly back to the mainland. And then it's just been escalating on and on. But so is God. Amen. So is God. Let's sing it and make it a prayer of our hearts that our enemies would be fed, our enemies would be nurtured, we would be able to love our enemies and our prayer warring against what Satan is doing. Are you hearing? Praying for our enemies that God would deliver them from the hand of the evil one. That we would see instead of lives being changed and about to be taken, instead of a person holding a knife ready to slit a throat, they drop it because the presence of God breaks them. Remember the pan? Boom, boom, prayer, fall, prayer, fall, prayer, dominion over the enemy, amen?